السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So the last class was right before Eid, the night before or the day before Eid, and we talked about how the in relation to the previous class before that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given a visit by Jibreel alayhi salam in the Ghar Hira, and the first revelation of the Quran was revealed to the Prophet salam in that night, Laylatul Qadr. So this was during the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And alhamdulillah, so we talked about that. We talked a little bit about the angels themselves. And one question before we continue is that how do we know if the angels are better in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or humans? So who's better in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels or the humans? And how do we know?
Their actions. So if a person, he doesn't follow his desires, but he uses his intellect to obey the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he's better than the angels because he still has desires. But if he follows his desires, then he's worse than angels.
Not only just worse than angels, he's worse than the animals, barakallahu feek. Yes. Okay, so the ulama say that if a person, like Muhafiz Mu'adh said, mashallah, he said that basically if someone is, their desires are their good deeds, and they're curbing their desires, if that's more than their sins and other stuff, their shar basically, then that person rises above the angels. That person's status is above the angels. But on the other hand, if someone continues doing misbehavior, like the sins and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person is not only just less than the angels, but that person is less than the baha'im, the animals. So this is something that we need to understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person when they are obedient to Him and they follow His commands. And the person who goes below and starts his desires and the sins overcome that the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person falls below the animals. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from being lower than the animals. So one of the things, inshallah, as we continue, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the angels had. So we know that angels, they do whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders them to do. And they don't disobey, they never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they don't even have the aptitude, they can't even disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't have desires. And the fear that they have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in one of the hadith related by An-Nawas ibn Sam'an radiallahu anhu, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them and that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to speak, when He wishes to speak and give some wahi and give some orders or something to the angels, then there is like a rajfa, okay, or ra'da. It's like a thunder strike or like a sound of a thunder bolt occurs, and all the angels when they look up and they hear this sound, out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they all fall down unconscious. They basically all fall down in sujood and they fall down, and then when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is the first to basically awaken from this unconsciousness, and he speaks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaks to him, gives him the revelation, and then Jibreel alayhi salam comes down, and then the angels, they all start waking up, and they ask Jibreel alayhi salam, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? And Jibreel alayhi salam responds by saying, Al-Haq wa huwa al-Aliyul Kabir, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said the truth, and He says the truth, He says the haq, and then He tells them what the orders are, and then it goes on and gets basically disseminated to all the angels. The orders are given out to the angels. Another thing about the number. So this is something we talked about in Ramadan. You guys remember the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, "Attat al-sama wa hukka laha anta it," that the skies, the heavens, the skies make a creaking sound, and it has full basically has the full right to make those kind of sounds. And the reason why it's making those sounds, you remember what I told you guys that? What the reason behind that was? Yeah.
Because there's not like a four previous days until this means to
Barakallahu feek. Yes, there's not in the skies, there's not even the span of four fingers where there's not an angel standing and doing sujood and ruku to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically the heavens are full of angels, okay, praying and prostrating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the skies make this creaking sound because of the weight, the sheer weight of those angels. Okay, another question. You guys remember when they finally raise their heads from sujood and from ruku, when they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are they going to say? What do these angels say? Yes, ma abadnaka haqqa ibadah. That they'll say that, oh Allah, we didn't worship you as you had the right of being worshipped. So this is something they're going to see right as soon as they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now another hadith, and this is something that happened during Isra wal Mi'raj, and inshallah we're going to go over that. That's part of the Meccan history, okay, where the Prophet ﷺ was taken to Jerusalem, and then from Baytul Muqaddas he was taken up to the heavens. So Isra and Mi'raj, we'll go over that in detail when the time comes. But during that time, this is where Rasulullah ﷺ tells us about, we know about the Kaaba in the earth, in Makkah Mukarrama, but there's also a Kaaba in the heavens. Okay, and the name of that is Al-Baytul Ma'mur. This is the Baytul Ma'mur, this is the Kaaba, this is which is directly above the Kaaba of this earth. And when the Prophet ﷺ was on his journey of Isra wal Mi'raj, he saw when he met Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salam was basically leaning against one of the walls of Baytul Ma'mur, and then Rasulullah approached him and he spoke to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So about this Baytul Ma'mur, Rasulullah tells us in a hadith in Shu'b al-Iman and the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he says Al-Baytul Ma'mur fi as-samaa sabi'ah, that Al-Baytul Ma'mur is in the seventh heaven. Okay, يَدْخُلُهُ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ سَبْعُونَ أَلْفْ مَلَكٍ, that every single day 70,000 angels enter into the mataf of this Baytul Ma'mur. Okay, لَا يَعُودُونَ إِلَيْهِ حَتَّى تَقُومَ السَّاعَةِ, and these 70,000 angels, they do tawaf of Baytul Ma'mur and they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around in the mataf of this Baytul Ma'mur, and they're never able to get another chance until the Day of Judgment. Meaning, every single day since creation, Allahu alam how many years, how many days that's been, every single day since the beginning, 70,000 angels have entered into Baytul Ma'mur, and they're never going to get a chance to do the tawaf again. So you can't even imagine how much the number is. It's just amazing, just thinking about it. You know, if you start thinking multiplied by a year, it comes out to like, I don't know, 21 million or something, right? I don't know, whatever the math is. But it comes out to that just in 1 year. Just imagine how many years Allah SWT has created the seven heavens and the earth, and how many angels there are that have been doing that, and they're not going to get another chance to do it. Next, the responsibilities of these angels. So in the Quran, Allah SWT tells us in Surah Safat, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما منا إلا له مقام معلوم. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that the angels, they say basically that there is a maqam ma'lum. There is a set maqam or set like a spot you could say or a station, okay, a station that is given to these angels, and they all know their duties. Basically, they're all assigned duties, and they know exactly what they're supposed to be doing, and they carry it out to its fullest. And one of the hadith of Prophet ﷺ tells us, there was one, you guys remember, we talked about this last week, that there are angels. The angels, first of all, we said they're made of what? They're khuliqa min nur. Yeah, the angels are made of nur, and then they go around searching for light. So, for example, right now in this gathering, we have multitude, we don't even know the number, of angels, and they're still coming, as they're calling each other to come and take part of this nur. And so these angels do this, that's one of the duties of these angels. In another hadith, similar to that one, the Prophet ﷺ tells us, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَلَائِكَ سَيَّاحِينَ, that Allah SWT has malaika that are going around, roaming around, basically traveling around the world, fil ard. The sayyahin fil ard, meaning they're traveling around in the earth. Yuballighuni min ummati as-salam. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling us in this hadith that there's other angels, other than the ones looking for the nur, there's other angels that are going around, roaming around the earth. And whenever someone says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sends durood and salawat on the Prophet ﷺ, those angels, they have some kind of special recognition. They're able to go straight to that nur, to that person who said the salawat. Then from that person, they carry the salam all the way to Madinah Munawwara, to the grave of the Prophet ﷺ, and they say to the face of the Prophet ﷺ, face to face, they say to the Prophet ﷺ that so and so ibn Fulan, this person, the son of so and so, or the daughter of so and so, has sent you salam. And then the Prophet ﷺ, by name, our name is given to the Prophet ﷺ, that this person has sent salam, and the Prophet ﷺ responds to that salam. Another thing the Prophet ﷺ tells us in the hadith, and this is Sahih Muslim, this is authentic hadith, and this tells us another thing about how to manage our finances. Okay, we know that that there's four. Okay, I'll talk about that after, inshallah. But there's one of the angels, and I won't say his name yet. One of the angels, he's in charge of rizq. His basically duty is he's in charge of rizq. Okay, and one of the things in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ tells us that on the authority of Abu Huraira, he says, "Bayna rajulun bifulatin min al-ard." He said that there was a person from the past, from one of the previous ummah. He was traveling, and he was in this area where he saw there was a sahab, there was a cloud, and he heard a voice from the cloud. Okay, from within the clouds. فَسَمِعَ سَوْتًا فِي السَّحَابَةٍ. He heard a voice from within the cloud saying, one somebody saying to another, اسقي حديقة فلان, that go and give water to حديقة of فلان. So after this, he says he was amazed by hearing this. And so he's staring at this cloud, and he sees this cloud move, starts to move. Now this cloud starts to move, and it goes to a certain area where it starts to pour, the rain starts to pour. And after that, he sees the water starts to get together, and then it starts going, and he's following this water. He's amazed at seeing this, and he goes and follows until he sees that the water enters into a field, a garden. So he goes into this hadiqa, and he sees a man standing there, a farmer, basically working at his garden. So he says to this man, "That can I ask, what's your name?" And he hears the same name that he just heard in the sahab, in the cloud. And then he says to this man, he says, "Okay, I ask you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tell me what do you do that this amazing thing happened?" He tells him what happened. He said that I heard this your name being called out, that go and give water to the hadika, the garden of this certain person, and then I saw this water come straight to you, and you this is where this water came from. So he says that, just tell me by Allah, what do you do that Allah subhanahu has given you this special barakah and this rizq in this way? So this man, he says that I wouldn't have told you, basically I this is a secret between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but because you asked me and because of the situation, I'll tell you the secret. And he says that basically 1/3 of my profits, so after the crop, and he, you know, takes the crop and he sells the crop, he takes 1/3 of the profit, and he says, I reinvest it into the garden. 1/3, another 1/3, he said, I go and spend it on my family for the whole year, for whatever their, you know, needs and food and, you know, whatnot, he spends on his family. And the rest remaining 1/3 of the profit, he takes that and he gives it away as sadaqah. He gives it away to the poor. So just imagine, the Prophet ﷺ is telling this hadith that this person has been blessed, his barakah, his business and his basically his farmland has been blessed in such a way because he's giving 1/3 of his sadaqah, his wealth in sadaqah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending rain clouds to that person to give him extra rain, to give him barakah in that land. So this is something that, you know, we need to understand, is that when we give away, it's not lessening our money or our bank balance, but actually we're going to be increasing in barakah, which is unseen, it's from the ghaib, and this is something that inshallah, less is more when you have it, when it's full of barakah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us barakah, inshallah. And the last thing I want to say before I end, inshallah. So we have four main angels. We have all those multitude of angels. Allahu alam with the adad. We don't know how much there are. But there's four main angels that are given special duties. So for example, we have Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, who's in charge of wahi. He's in charge of revelation. Then we have Mikael. And one of the things about Jibreel alayhi salam is that he's close with the prophets. He's basically the one who's in charge of the wahi, bringing it to them. And one of the hadith, the Jews actually came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said, we're going to ask you some questions, and no one knows the answer to these questions except a prophet. And one of the questions they asked him, they said, "Man waliyuk min al malaika?" Who is your close friend or companion from amongst the malaika? And the Prophet said, when he said Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, then they just wanted an excuse to get out of it. So they're like, Jibreel, oh, we don't like him, basically. Like, he's our enemy, we don't like him. And that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat that whoever is enemy to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, or to Mikael alayhi salatu wasalam, he's an enemy to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and everyone. Basically, he's an enemy to the believers. So you can't single out one angel to another and say, you know, we like this angel, we don't like this angel. We believe in all of the mu'amantu bil malaikatihi. We believe in all the angels, and we love them and respect them, and we don't single out anything. Anyway, so Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he's in charge of the wahi. You have Mikael alayhi salatu wasalam, who's in charge of rizq and rain, basically. Then you have Israfil alayhi salatu wasalam, who's in charge of blowing the trumpet. That's his only duty, basically. You have Malak al-Maut, who is in charge of death, basically taking the lives and souls of people and jinn and ins, taking their lives. And then you have some others that are mentioned. For example, you have Ridwan. Okay, Ridwan alayhi salam. He's the angel that's in charge of, anybody remember? We also talked about this in Ramadan. He has one duty, and that's the only thing he's going to do, basically. The doors of paradise, barakallahu feek. So when the Prophet comes knocking on the door of paradise, then Ridwan is going to get up, and he's going to ask, who is it? The Prophet will respond that it's me, Muhammad, and then Ridwan is going to open the door for Rasulullah, and then the Ummah, and the rest of mankind. Okay, and then you have Malik, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he's in charge of hellfire. He's the angel that's in charge of the hellfire. So these are the angels. These are different angels. There's many others there's some of the names we do know and some we don't know. Most of them we don't know. But we do believe in all of them. And inshallah, you know, we will be meeting them as on the Day of Judgment. And not even actually before that, when we're dying. When we're getting ready to die and our soul is about to depart this world, that's when the angels will first come. That's going to be the first time where we see the angels. And then after that, we'll see them on the Day of Judgment. And also when we go into Jannah, when we're entering into Jannah, they'll be giving bashara, saying to us that, you know, you guys were good, you were pure, you obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So enter into Jannah, khalidin. Enter into Jannah forever and بالسلام ادخلوا بالسلام. So come into Jannah with salam, with peace. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq, inshallah, to increase us in the ilm, in the yaqeen of the ghaib, and the belief in the iman in ghaib, inshallah ta'ala, and get us closer to him azza wa jalla, inshallah. Jazakallahu khair. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, next week I'm going to be continuing with just a few more points about Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and then the week after we'll continue on after the wahi. So Fatrat al-Wahi, and then the second revelation, inshallah. Jazakallah khair.